Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Saturday, April 13th.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mick Hess, your host for Roving with the Arts here on KSJE 90.9. Please join me every weekday starting at 9 a.m. for the chance to hear full-length, unabridged opera, ballet, symphonic, and chamber music. I'll share news of local concert events that you may be interested in attending, background information about some of the greatest musical compositions ever written. Tune in weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. and Wednesday from 9 to 10:30.
Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the 27th day of March, 2024. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, New Mexico, in Durango, Colorado. We broadcast at 103.3 FM. And if you want to be anywhere else on the planet and tune in to hear what we're up to, just go to our website to listen. And that, of course, is ksje.com. Also, welcome our viewers. Our viewers are joining us because the video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everyone. We're glad that you are with us today because coming up, we are getting an update from some very good folks over at the Farmington Municipal School District. So stay tuned for that. Lots of good updates to share. That and more coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this hour, I'll be checking in with Ron Price. He is going to give us another lesson about life in the sandbox. Today, we're beginning a conversation about having difficult conversations. So that is coming up today at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, of course, we'll turn things over to Mick Hess, the host of Roving with the Arts, our weekday classical music program. It's a Wednesday. That means a special 90-minute version of Roving with the Arts, because that'll take us to 10:30 and right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program with Delshery Gladden. Delshery is welcoming another local author, Kim Bradley, about her book on short stories called Spillway. And you'll hear that conversation today at 10:30 right here on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on X, which used to be known as Twitter, and also on Instagram, in addition to Facebook and YouTube. And if you're a podcast person, we invite you to subscribe to KSJE Podcasts. They're available wherever you're probably already listening to them, places like iTunes and Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. In fact, this program will be a podcast before you know it. So subscribe and maybe discover a new program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is currently sunny and 30 degrees. This Wednesday morning, we are expecting a mostly sunny day, still kind of on the cool side from what we've been experiencing. 47 for a high today in Farmington. Clear skies overnight tonight with a low near 30 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer on Thursday with a high near 60. Partly cloudy skies on Thursday night with a low of 39. Then those winds will kick up, and that's a sure sign of spring. Windy day on Friday with a high of 57. Windy Friday night with a low of 38. Winds on Saturday with a high of 62. And then maybe another chance of rain or snow showers moving into the area on Sunday and Monday. We'll keep an eye on that. I'll be back with my guest from Farmington Schools right after this. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, whose vision is to deliver world-class care, making life better for the communities they are privileged to serve. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so residents can live life better here. San Juan Regional Medical Center, community-owned and operated, here for you. And back in Studio A this morning, as I mentioned, with my guest from the Farmington School District, Superintendent Cody Deal is joining us again this morning. Welcome back, Mr. Deal. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me. Seems like we were just here.
It does seem like you were just here, but it's been a month, so.
It's amazing. Time flies. I guess February is a short month, right?
Kind of short. Like, we got an extra day this year, but it probably still seems short, right? So,
yes, sir.
So there you go. But good to have you here. We will introduce your other guests in just a moment, but wanted to get started by talking about some of the updates from Farmington Schools and beginning with some accolades, I think, for some folks on your staff.
Yeah, and I always appreciate starting this way, and Roberto does a nice job of putting this out for us. But yes, at the board meeting last week or a couple weeks ago, we recognized Miss Katie Patton from Farmington High School. This is the great thing about this award, the Clay's Nobel Educator of Distinction. She was nominated by a student, so I think that's probably as an educator, one of the greatest things is to be recognized by one of your students.
Sure.
So good for her, and she's doing amazing things over at Farmington High School.
Very true. And we have a picture on the screen right now, of course,
yeah.
And that honor comes from the National Society of High School Scholars.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's almost, you know, it's National Honor Society of Musicians. So it's really a cool award for her. And, of course, Mr. Fear there, he was here with us last week.
He was indeed. That's true. Right. Yep. Very true. Also, some other celebrations. Your Danae Spelling Bee at the district.
Yeah. So we have, obviously, we were here a few months ago about our Spelling Bee. But, yes, the Danae Spelling Bee took place and at all levels, elementary, middle school, and high school. So we have some winners there. I don't, you can see them on the screen. You want me to recognize, well, I will recognize the, you know, our students at elementary level, Kiara Benali, Sarah Benali, and Aubrey Theodore.
Okay, thank you.
At the middle school, Nikolai John, first place, Noah Sandoval, Amira Valdez Montoya. And then moving on to the high school, we have Tayan Johnson, emerged as the champion, Talia Velarde from Farmington High School, both of them from Farmington High School, and then Ashley Bial from Piedra Vista High School.
Very good. And you also had a Spanish spelling bee as well after a one-year absence. I'm reading off of the screen. Yeah.
Yep, one-year absence, and I think you'll see it grow as we continue to have that. But yes, so a couple students to recognize, Nathaniel Condor and Kiara Rodriguez.
Very good. Congratulations to them and to all the students, because I know that can be somewhat, can be a little intimidating in a spelling bee, any spelling bee, no matter what language you're spelling in.
So I was able to judge my first spelling bee this year at Apache, and it was nerve-wracking for me. So
right.
I could only imagine how they felt.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Well, congratulations to all of your students. A nice spread around the schools to give them honors. You also have some new leaders at a couple of schools coming up right in the fall.
We do, and we're really excited. I want to thank we've had three elementary principals retire. We only have two listed here. We're going to announce the third today, so I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it at that. But
well, today, why don't you do it on the show?
I might.
All right,
we'll
all
see
right.
how these two go.
Right,
but
I don't want to guilt you into making an announcement, but I'm just saying you're here.
I might as well, right?
But it's okay.
So Roberto will get mad at me. You know,
right.
Ruin his Facebook post. But no, at Mesa Verde Elementary School, Miss Jessica Doyle is going to be our new principal, and she's been with Miss Schritter there at Mesa Verde for 5 years, I believe. So she's we're really excited for her to continue the work that Miss Schritter is doing, and it's a great team, and I look forward to how she can continue to move them forward. So we welcome her. And then at Bluffview Elementary School, Mr. Michael Lampson, who's been there a couple years as an assistant principal, and we're excited to welcome him as well. And the thing that I want to say about these two is that they've been part of one of our collaborative leadership teams around high reliability schools. And so I've been able to watch them for the past couple years as educational leaders, as instructional leaders, and not only that, but as assistant principals step up in roles to help shape what we do with our high reliability schools tool. And so I'm really excited about the two of them. I will announce our third at McCormick Elementary, Miss Tasha Fernandez. I don't have her picture and I don't
right,
have her bio up in her
news.
Statement.
Breaking news
yes.
audiences. That's right.
So she will be there. She's been an assistant principal. She's been in our district. She had a little leave of absence from our district and went to Aztec but we welcomed her back this year and we're excited to have her keep moving McCormick forward as well.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I love
detail, but no, I appreciate you sharing that information to our listeners and viewers this morning. And I just wanted to make a point and ask you a question about these promotions of these folks. It seems like kind of a bigger picture, maybe, view of what the district is trying to do with its leadership at schools, of trying to identify future leaders. So when you do have a retirement, you can maybe promote folks who are familiar with the students, familiar with the schools, into those positions. Yeah. Is that part of this?
Yeah, absolutely. And with the systems that we have in place in our district strategic plan that our school board has approved and helped us develop around high reliability schools. And so with these systems in place, it's a natural progression or a natural thing for them to move into. And we want them to grow as leaders as well. So to keep the work moving forward, I think it's really good for us. It's really good for Farmington. I'm excited. I mean, you know, I was a high school principal in two different places, and you always have that year to, well, really, what's really happening here? And so I think that when you bring somebody from the outside in, or somebody that hasn't been part of our system, you lose some time. And,
right.
And with these hires, I don't think we lose any time, and I think we continue that momentum that the principals that are currently at those schools have started. And we love the fact that we get to retire at some point, but I want to thank all three of them, Ms. Schritter, Ms. Ledick, and Ms. White at all three of those schools for their contribution to our district. They've all been in our district for a long time.
Very true, and very true. Lots of experience.
Yes.
With those three names that you mentioned, but I would say too, for parents who have students going to those schools, they should feel confident that these folks are already, again, familiar, and maybe the parents are familiar with these new principals as well.
Yep. I think it's going to be an easy transition and a smooth transition, and they're really good people.
All right. Very good. That brings us to introduce one of our other guests who are here with you this morning. And that is Isaac Gamboa, who has been here before. But this time, Mr. Gamboa has a new title.
Yes.
And so talk to us a little bit about that.
So before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about our Chief of Operations, Ted Lasowitz. He's done extraordinary work in our district for the last he's been employed by us for the last 11 to 13 years. But before that, he worked for the PSFA for the state of New Mexico. So Mr. Lasowitz has had a hand in our buildings, building our schools, maintaining our schools, our food service department, transportation department for the last 25 years, specifically with the construction for the last 25 years. So tough shoes to fill. But Mr. Gamboa, who I'm going to introduce, is currently our district athletic director, and he's now going to take over operations along with athletics. So I'm letting him have it, and he's big shoes to fill.
You can take that, right? A couple of ways, I think, but okay.
Yeah, big shoes to fill, but we're very confident in his ability to keep us moving forward, and him and Mr. Lasowitz for the last month have been working very closely together, and so I'm really excited about the opportunity for Mr. Gamboa, and you know, we're going to provide him some athletic help as well. So just a little bit of movement. So, but we're excited. So welcome, Mr. Gamboa.
Mr. Gamboa, good morning. Thank you for being here. And congratulations on this new set of responsibilities added to your plate.
Thank you.
For lack of a better term, right?
It's a new avenue in my career. So I'm excited. I appreciate Mr. Dill giving me the opportunity to I guess within our restructuring allow some of those duties and other people to grow in our community. So just kind of the restructure, Aaron Lucero up here at Vista and Johnny Curry at Farmington High will be full-blown athletic directors at each of the sites now. So that'll be a huge help in letting them grow. And then we'll have the athletic director there on campus with them. So I'm real excited. They have a really good vision and it aligns with what we're doing across the district. So I'm really excited with them. They're nervous too, but they'll do a good job.
Right.
And just, you know, a recap of the winter sports. I want to talk a little bit about some of our teams. So our girls made it to the semifinals, lost a heartbreaker last second shot, but they did well. Our Farmington boys made it to the first round, lost a tough one to Atrisco, but we did end up with five kids in the All-Star game. We had Capiolani, Anatolua, Malia Charlie from Farmington High, Christian Smith from PD for the girls, and then for the boys, we had Trail Griego and Cody Vasserstein. So really good showing. from both the teams this year in the North South game. Well, I guess it's the red green.
That's it. Game. Oh, right. Yeah. There you go. True.
So, but no, I'm excited. Some of the projects we got going on.
Yep.
Looking at putting some lights and some bleachers over at Pierre Gervais High School so we can start playing games at normal times instead of having to start so early in the day with soccer. Have a place for our fans to sit and watch football games. So that's some of the projects that we have going on. We're just in the planning stages with those right now. We are full for coaches, so all our head coaches are hired and we're going into the fall. So feel really good about that. It's becoming more of a challenge to find head coaches, but we have some really good ones in place right now. So still looking for assistance. So if anybody out there is interested in helping out, we're always looking for people. But as far as moving forward with projects, though, with the transition, we have really good people in place that'll keep everything that we're doing in the district moving forward, and I'm excited.
Very good. Well, congratulations once again, and we are now, I guess, kind of the start of spring sports, right?
Yes.
Is underway. I've already seen some posts for about baseball in the snow and things along that line, which is what you get this time of year.
Yep. Spring is really not spring. It's
not yet.
It's an extended winter.
Yeah, that's true.
Sports, but yeah, we're full blown, and teams are playing real competitive right now. We have PV and Phoenix tournament right now, and we just finished up the Scorpion Invite, which ended with the Farmington versus PV championship, and Farmington edged them out 4-3. So softball's doing great. Farmington High's up in the top 10. PV's working on getting into that top 10 here pretty shortly. But really excited to see what our fall sports on the diamonds can do. And we have some track kids that have already qualified for state, so they're off to a good start as well. And our tennis teams are, I think they're going to make a run this year. So I'm really excited to see what they do.
Very good. Well, congratulations once again. And as you mentioned, the part of your other job, though, will be operations, and that will be buildings and, I guess, repairs and maybe any new construction, things like that, which will all now fall under your purview.
As well as transportation and food, but I feel really confident with the people that are in there, and you'll hear from our food director here in a second, so I'm really excited to hear her.
Very good.
What's going on?
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
And it's great to have you with us and your leadership at the district, I guess. And again, Mr. Deal, this is part of the strategy again to promote and consolidate when possible. And I mean, you mentioned Mr. Lazowitz, who's been a guest on this program numerous times and certainly in charge of a lot of those big multi-million dollar construction projects that the district has been part of. And so that's a big lift.
It is a big lift. And I'm excited. And as Mr. Gamboa said, I mean, Mr. Lasowitz has been surrounded by good folks in our district, mm-hmm. with Ms. Johnson, who we're about to talk to, and Mr. Hewish in our transportation department, and then Steve Vollmert in the maintenance and construction side. So good leadership, and I only see it growing. But yeah, we've worked hard with the PSFA over the last month to help with our transition, so I'm confident.
Very good. Terrific. Well, that brings us to our other guest this morning, and that is Marie Johnson. When you think about food in Farmington schools, you can only think about Marie Johnson because you are well known in this state and I would say in this country for your efforts in nutrition for students and staff at Farmington schools. So it's always a pleasure and a treat to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Here. And it's not every day you sit next to your new boss and your big, big boss.
No kidding, right?
And have to not be nervous.
Right. But you know your stuff, so maybe they're the ones who are nervous.
I doubt that.
Okay.
I doubt that.
Well, it's great to have you here and to talk about just some of the many things that you are doing at Farmington Schools when it comes to nutrition. And let me change the slide there so everyone can see what we're going to talk about. But the numbers are pretty amazing with you and your department of just how many meals you serve.
Yes, we're still feeding kids through everything.
That's pretty much
what we take pride in doing. So.
And
we
that
worry
included
about
spring
them.
Break, too.
Yes, correct. We worry about them when they are out of school. So we do great work to make sure that they stay nourished. And over fall break, we actually serve 687 meals, 5-day breakfast and lunch meal kits. And it almost doubled over spring break to 1,240 meals. And if I had left the sign-up longer, it probably would have been closer to 1500, but because we contracted with a company to deliver these meals, because I still have to let my teams be off.
Sure.
And so, and they also have kids.
Right.
And I think people forget that, you know, they are people too.
Yeah, right.
And so,
and those meals then, because of that, were more kind of shelf-stable types of meals and things like that?
100% shelf-stable, not what our families typically receive from us,
right.
The ones that we combine and consolidate and create. So, but they were good. It's good food. Good food still met the meal pattern requirements as mandated by USDA. So we still got served many, many kids in our district, and we were grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, very much so. Yes. And I guess what those numbers tell me is that maybe the need is out there in your district, and that families are being helped by this program.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Which will take us into summer. We
right.
know that summer, the meals that we serve during the school year are very nutritious, and a lot of our students and families depend on those meals. So to continue that momentum, we go into the summer. Our first day of our summer program will start on June the 3rd, and we will end the first Friday in August. And we're looking to feed quite a few kids over the summer. And it's available to any child up to the age of 18 in the community. We will actually be running 6 to 8 meal delivery routes again, and we'll have several summer food sites where families can come in and
pick
have
them up,
meals.
I guess, right?
Yes. Pick up and also dine.
And just dine eat in,
us.
I guess,
yes.
too, right?
Yes.
At these different
yes.
sites. So
yes.
That's a big project then, too. I mean, there's a
yes.
lot of moving parts to that, it sounds to me.
Yes, a lot of moving parts, but we're experts now. So.
I would think so. Well, that's true. I forget
yes.
who I'm talking to, but you're right. You're doing this for a while.
For a little bit.
Yes. And so, again, the need is there.
Exactly.
And I guess there are concerns maybe that if these programs weren't available, that these children may go without
Absolutely.
A meal over the summer, maybe if mom
yes.
and dad are working or
exactly.
it's a single parent situation. That's
right.
kind of the concern.
That is the concern. That is the concern. And we want to keep them nourished and ready to learn.
Right.
So,
and that's another, I think, well-documented fact that when students show up to school hungry or they're not sure where lunch is coming
right.
from or dinner, they are distracted and that affects their learning.
Exactly. 100% does. So our program makes sure they're ready.
Very good. Talk to me a little bit about, I guess you have some breakfast for graduations.
Yes. So it's become a tradition now for our graduating seniors. We have one last service opportunity to serve them breakfast, and we make it really special as they become young adults and then we send them out into the world. We really elevate that breakfast experience for them. It's their last time to see their cafeteria managers and their lunch ladies and lunch dudes that serve them.
Right.
And so we make it really special. It's a really nice hot breakfast, and usually they don't eat much because they're so hyped about graduating. But it gives us that last chance to send them on their way and say, you know, thank you for letting us serve you. And one of the cool things we do that day is serve them hot coffee like adults.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But, shh, it's decaf.
Oh, don't tell them. That's all right.
They don't know.
They've got enough energy.
Right,
they don't
right,
need anything else.
Right,
so that's probably
right,
true.
Right.
Your junior chef competition. Talk
yes.
to me about that. This is the second time?
This is our second junior chef competition. It's going to happen on April 13th. This is an invitation to anyone in the community to come and watch our four teams compete together. We will be at Farmington High's Auxiliary Gym.
Okay.
And it should be exciting. We have four teams that have signed up. They're going to give us or provide or create a recipe around Italian food, New Mexican style.
Ah.
So it should be pretty fun. It starts at 9 a.m., inviting everybody to come out and support our young chefs.
Okay. What are the ages of the chefs or grade levels?
We're starting at 4th grade through 12th grade.
Okay.
So a good mix. I'm a little nervous about going younger than fourth grade. So,
right.
So, but maybe someday, but nope. not right now.
Not now. Okay. I yeah. understand. That's
yeah.
fair enough.
Yes.
There's also a note about food court expansion to
yes.
All of the district's elementary schools. And
yes. Okay. So this school year 23-24, because of my wonderful leadership who lets me expand and grow our program, I was able to partner with Food Corps to bring in food corps service members to help with nutrition education components at different schools and kind of bring a little bit of agricultural literacy to our curriculum, working in partnership with teachers. And they've been able to partner with their lead teachers to create indoor gardens, which we've actually harvested and served our students at those particular schools from those gardens. They've done a lot of fun nutrition lessons with teacher supervision, of course, teaching our kids where their food comes from, how to eat healthy. So I presented to the board, and they are allowing me to expand the program a little bit. And next year, we will touch every elementary school with a service member who will be in and out and doing different things. I also have them working on other district-wide projects, such as composting this year. We, as part of the SB 4 legislation, one of the components of that is to ensure you are handling responsibly your food waste.
Very important.
So our district, we are trailblazers in everything that we do. We partnered with AMF, a local company, to pick up our food and milk waste. And so my food corps service members really helped expand that throughout the district. And we're still working on a few sites, but by the last day of school, I'm sure we'll have everybody doing it. So.
Okay.
So a big project. They've been truly helpful in expanding my department. I believe that we have food covered, and so now I want to grow and contribute to the district in other ways. So
very good.
Yes.
Real quick, we have a note about 4-H programs now at the middle schools.
Well, that's another program that we should see launch next school year, but we're in the planning phases and getting it going, and that'll be something else that my food corps service members will help with.
Okay.
4-H is a program we had several years ago here at Farmington Schools. And unfortunately, the key stakeholders that were involved with it retired. And so I'm going to do my best to bring that back, and hopefully we'll be able to sustain it this time. So
great. And then the last but certainly not least
is
the Farm to School program, which I've talked about on this program numerous times with friends from the San Juan County Partnership and the Cooperative Extension Service and all those other folks to try to grow a local food kind of infrastructure here.
Right. And I am really looking to start a really viable Farm to School program. With that, I am going to be hiring a farm-to-school lead that will work in my department, and we're going to really amp up our efforts to have school gardens at every school. It's my big dream, pie-in-the-sky dream.
Sure.
And we're getting there slowly but surely. I'm applying for a farm-to-school grant to hopefully bring several different unique, innovative farm-to-school learning opportunities for our students. So I don't want to say a lot because I haven't cleared any of that yet with my bosses, but I'm busy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to share more breaking news, Mr. Deal's already done it, I'd say just join the club.
Okay. Not today.
You can wait. Okay,
that's fair. Not today.
And I know you've been really instrumental in trying to source locally grown food, fruits and vegetables to put into your meals for students, and that's, I think, been recognized
And we're still number one in the state. We buy even more than Albuquerque Public Schools, and we're just a tiny
Compared to them.
That's
right.
Yes.
So. Very true. Well, congratulations on that. And I think, again, a lot of the farmers in the area really appreciate that partnership because they know if they grow it, they'll have a customer.
Marie will buy it.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
Very true. Well,
wonderful
to have you here. Thank you for sharing all of the things that you're involved with.
So we're working hard.
You are, indeed. Yes. Very true. Mr. Deal, I want to come back to you a little bit to kind of wrap up our conversation, if you would, for us, and some of the other things that have been going on. Of course, the academic calendar, I know, has been a big conversation, and that came from some things happening at the state level, certainly.
Yeah, so you've heard about it probably with all of us in the county and all over the state, but with the new rule, we were waiting on the rule from the Public Education Department, and it doesn't have a great effect on Farmington Municipal Schools as much as it does with smaller districts in the state, but our school board did approve the academic calendar, at least start and end dates mm-hmm. for the school year,
okay.
And you know, when we have these conversations, people like to be done at Memorial Day. And so they often wonder why we start so early. But our teachers are coming back August 5th and 6th to prepare for the school year. Then we'll have our transition grades back on August 7th. Did I say October? Sorry if I did. August 5th and 6th of October on the brain, I guess. But
yes.
Anyways, kindergarten, our transition grades, kindergarten 6th and 9th, will be back on August 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of our other classes, all of our other grades will begin on August 8th. And then our last day of school will be May 22nd. You know, one thing that I will talk about is our early out Mondays.
Right. That's a change, right?
There is going to be a change. We aren't going to have the early out Mondays moving forward next year anyways. And so we're going to work on with our school building leaders. You know, we still need time for our teachers to prepare and collaborate and have time to look at student data and student learning and how we intervene and not only intervene but enrich the learning of our students. So these times that you see on the screen are probably not quite set in stone based on a few things, but it's going to be in the ballpark. So our elementary schools now get out 3:15, 3:20-ish, and so they'll get out significantly early. So instead of one big chunk of time on Monday, we'll spread it out over the week.
Gotcha.
And I think our community has been screaming for years about the hardship that we place on the community on Mondays, whether that be childcare, a lot of different factors. And so
with the early outs,
Sure. And so mm-hmm. we want to support our community, but we still need to support our teachers as well with time.
I was going to say at the same time that was part of professional development, I think, and some of these other things. So that still is to be determined how that gets made up, I guess.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, we'll have time at the end of each day or more time than we currently do, but we're looking at ways to improve our professional development, you know, whether that be job embedded during the school day, rearranging schedules to give teachers time,
right.
More time throughout the week, spread out through, you know, through the week.
Gotcha.
And, yeah.
And real quick about the budget, you're putting it together now that you know what the numbers are going to be from the state, I guess?
Yeah, so we did last week, went to the spring budget conference, and we did get the unit value, and it increased by about 3%. But with our decline, we have a little decline in enrollment, and then I think we've talked a little bit about teacher cost index, and you know, not every teacher is paid the same,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a factor that's multiplied by levels of experience. So our cost index is going down. I guess what I'll say at this point, we're very in the preliminary stages of it. The unit value increase does not take care of our budget. So we're going to have to look at ways to find money.
Gotcha. It doesn't cover all the increases that the district is facing, I said what you're saying, right?
Right. So mandated, you know, the 3% increase mm-hmm. Costs Farmington
salary.
Schools in everybody's salaries about $2.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Our insurance went up a little over 15%. Not only the employees' contribution, but ours, it's still a number, right? And it's going to cost us about $1.2 million. And then our risk insurance saw a significant increase of probably $600,000 to $700,000. So add all those up, and we got a little work to do.
Gotcha. Well, there you go. That makes it understandable, I guess, but that's what you'll be doing in the next 30 days, I guess, or so,
yep.
right?
Yes, sir.
As things get ready. So very good. Well, thank you for coming in. Thank you all for being with us. Mr. Deal, I wanted to just point out, I don't know how Roberto did it, but he got you wearing the same outfit that you're wearing in the picture.
Look at
that.
It's
amazing. I guess he just...
He told me.
He did let you know?
Yeah.
That's what to wear?
We'll yes. look for a new picture next month.
That's okay. You look great. You look great in both, live and on the screen. So I just had to point that out. But I'm so appreciative of all of you for coming in and sharing all these updates from the Farmington School District. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank
very good. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. My guest this morning right here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.